First Jeremiah 5, 26 through 31. For wicked men are found among my people. They lurk like fowlers, lying in wait. They set a trap. They catch men like a cage full of birds. Their houses are full of deceit. Therefore, they have become great and rich. They have grown fat and sleek. They know no bounds in deeds of evil. They judge not with justice. The cause of the fatherless to make it prosper. They do not defend the rights of the needy. Shall not I punish them for these things, declares the Lord? Shall I not avenge myself on a nation such as this? An appalling and horrible thing has happened in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests rule at their discretion, at their direction. My people love to have it so. But what will you do when the end comes? And then turning to Jeremiah 23, picking up the reading at verse 9. Concerning the prophets. My heart is broken within me. All my bones shake. I am like a drunken man, like a man overcome by wine, because of the Lord and because of His holy words. For the land is full of adulterers because of the curse. The land mourns and the pastures of the wilderness are dried up. Their course is evil and their might is not right. Both prophet and priest are ungodly. Even in my house I have found their evil, declares the Lord. Therefore their way shall be to them like slippery paths in the darkness, into which they shall be driven and fall. For I will bring disaster upon them in the year of their punishment, declares the Lord. In the prophets of Samaria I saw an unsavory thing. They prophesied by Baal and led my people Israel astray. But in the prophets of Jerusalem I have seen a horrible thing. They commit adultery and walk in lies. They strengthen the hands of evildoers so that no one turns from his evil. All of them have become like Sodom to me, and its inhabitants like Gomorrah. Therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts concerning the prophets, behold, I will feed them with bitter food and will give them poisoned water to drink. For from the prophets of Jerusalem, ungodliness has gone out into all the land. Thus says the Lord of hosts, do not listen to the words of the prophets who prophesy to you, filling you with vain hopes. They speak visions of their own minds, not from the mouth of the Lord. They say continually to all those who despise the word of the Lord, it shall be well with you. And to everyone who stubbornly follows his own heart, they say, no disaster shall come upon you. For who among them has stood in the counsel of the Lord to see and to hear his word? Or who has paid attention to his word and listened? Behold, the storm of the Lord. Wrath has gone forth, a whirling tempest that will burst upon the head of the wicked. The anger of the Lord will not turn back until he has executed and accomplished the intents of his heart. In the latter days, you will understand it clearly. I did not send the prophets, yet they ran. I did not speak to them, yet they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel, then they would have proclaimed my words to my people, and they would have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their deeds. Am I a God at hand, declares the Lord, and not a God far off? Can a man hide himself in secret places so that I cannot see him, declares the Lord? Do I not fill heaven and earth, declares the Lord? I have heard what these prophets who prophesy lies in my name are saying. I have dreamed. How long shall there be lies in the heart of the prophets who prophesy lies and who prophesy the deceit of their own heart, who think to make my people forget my name by their dreams, that they may tell one another, even as their fathers forgot my name for Baal? Let the prophet who has a dream tell the dream, but let him who has my word speak my word faithfully. What is straw in common with wheat, declares the Lord? Is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces? Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, declares the Lord, who steal my words from one another. Behold, I am against the prophets, declares the Lord, who use their tongues and declares the Lord. Behold, I am against those who prophesy lying dreams, declares the Lord, and who tell them and lead my people astray by their lies and their recklessness when I did not send them or charge them. So they do not profit this people at all, declares the Lord. Thus the reading of God's holy, inspired word. Congregation of Christ, the prophet Jeremiah lived in a time when the people of God had wandered from their foundations. The people had turned away from the Lord. They followed other gods. And where they continued in the worship of the Lord, they imported practices they had learned from the pagan peoples who lived around them into the worship of the Lord. Judgment was hanging over their heads. God will not allow his people to turn from him and to dishonor his name without punishing them for it. God had already punished the northern kingdom of Israel by raising up the Assyrians to bring the northern kingdom to an end and to disperse them among the nations. In Jeremiah's time, God was raising up the mighty nation of the Babylonians to be the rod of his anger against his rebellious people, the southern kingdom of Judah. Jeremiah lived in an age of prophets and prophecy. There were many who prophesied in those days and who said, "Thus says the Lord." But most of these prophets simply told the people what they wanted to hear. The people wanted to hear that there would be peace and prosperity. They wanted to hear happy news. They didn't want anyone to tell them that they had to turn from their sins. They were enjoying their sin far too much for that. They didn't want to hear a message which said that judgment was coming upon them for their sins. So the people of Judah surrounded themselves with the best prophets that money could buy. Prophets who spoke what the people wanted to hear. It was at this time that God raised up the prophet Jeremiah. The Lord told Jeremiah when he called him that he would put his word in his mouth. In fact, at one time, Jeremiah confessed that if he held back from speaking the word of the Lord, it became like a fire within him until he could keep it in no longer. Jeremiah was a true prophet of the Lord, whom God had raised up when false prophets were in abundance. And when the people of God had fallen in love with what the false prophets were telling them. Those verses we read from Jeremiah 5 summarize things very succinctly. An appalling and horrible thing has happened in the land. The prophets prophesy lies, and the people rule at their direction. But my people, the priests rule at their direction, but my people love to have it so, says God. And what will you do when the end comes? Well, this morning I'd like to look with you at That portion of scripture that we read from Jeremiah 23, because in it we learn the difference between a true prophet of the Lord and a false prophet. We learn what God has ordained as having the power to shatter in pieces hearts hardened by sin. So first, what characterizes a false prophet? Well, it's not that a false prophet doesn't quote from the word of the Lord. False prophets are always using the name of the Lord. They're always prophesying, "Thus says the Lord." False prophets tell the people that they're speaking the word of the Lord. But God says in verse 16 that what they prophesied was false. They were speaking visions of their own minds. God had not said it. False prophets speak delusions from their own minds. Look at verses 25 and 26. "I have heard what the prophets have said who prophesy lies in my name, saying, 'I have dreamed, I have dreamed.' How long shall there be lies in the hearts of the prophets who prophesy lies and who prophesy the deceit of their own heart?" False prophets go around saying, "I have a dream." They claim to be men of vision. But their vision is not from the Lord, but from their own imaginations. They say the kind of things that will please the people they prophesy to. They even resort to stealing each other's words in the process. In verses 30 to 32, we read, "Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, declares the Lord, who steal my words from one another. Behold, I am against the prophets, declares the Lord, who use their tongues and declares the Lord. Behold, I am against those who prophesy lying dreams, declares the Lord, and who tell them and lead my people astray by their lies and their recklessness when I did not send them or charge them." False prophets speak in the name of the Lord. They claim to have received visions and dreams from the Lord. But what they declare is from their own minds, not from what they heard God say. The prophecies of any one of these false prophets sounded just like the prophecy of the next man. In Jeremiah chapter 6, God summarizes what these prophets said and were doing. He says, "They have healed the wound of my people lightly, saying, 'Peace, peace,' when there is no peace." False prophets bring a positive message, even when God's people are bleeding to death in their sins. They don't preach repentance and turning to God. They don't send the dying man to the great physician for the healing that God alone can give. Isaiah spoke of these prophets and said that they like to speak smooth things rather than true things. These prophets are in a hurry to run with their message, but they haven't been sent by God. And so the people were led astray. Jeremiah lays blame for the situation in Israel in two places. The prophets were telling the people what the people wanted to hear. They were not proclaiming what God said, even when they used the words, "This is what God says." The prophets were guilty before God. But the people were also guilty because they didn't want to hear the word of the Lord. As we read in Jeremiah 5 earlier, God says, "A horrible and shocking thing has happened in the land. The prophets prophesy lies, the priests rule by their authority, and my people love to have it that way." Isaiah the prophet describes the same condition among the people in his time. This is from Isaiah 30, 9 through 11. He says, "These are rebellious people, deceitful children, children unwilling to listen to their Lord's instruction. They say to the seers, 'See no more visions,' and to the prophets, 'Give no more visions of what's right. Tell us pleasant things, prophesy illusions. Leave this way, get off this path, and stop confronting us with the Holy One of Israel.'" The reason why the false prophets flourished was that the people wanted to hear their false messages. They had no appetite for the word of the Lord. And so the Lord allowed the false prophets to multiply. Oh, it would be easy to lay the blame at the feet of the false prophets entirely. And they do deserve a good share of the blame. But God said that His people loved to have it this way. They had told the true prophets and seers, "Give us no more visions of what is right." When the people of God do that, it's a very dark day indeed. Well, we've looked at the characteristics of false prophets. What then characterizes a true prophet of the Lord? Well, listen again to the beginning of chapter 3, beginning at verse 16. Let me read that again. "Thus says the Lord of hosts, 'Do not listen to the words of the prophets who prophesy to you, filling you with vain hopes.'" This is false prophets. "They speak visions of their own minds, not from the mouth of the Lord. They say continually to those who despise the word of the Lord, 'It shall be well with you.' And to everyone who stubbornly follows his own heart, they say, 'No disaster shall come upon you.'" And then listen to this. "For who among them has stood in the counsel of the Lord to see and hear His word? Or has paid attention to His word and listened?" I'd like you to notice that that word counsel there in verse 18, it's not C-O-U-N-S-E-L, meaning advice. It's C-O-U-N-C-I-L, meaning the assembly of the Lord in the court of heaven. We find the same expression also used in verse 22. A true prophet is one who stands in the council of the Lord assembled in heaven and hears the words of the Lord and declares them just as they have been spoken. And we have a great example of this in the Bible in the first book of Kings, chapter 22. There we have the account of Micaiah, the son of Imlah. Some of you know that story. Others, if you don't know it, you might want to turn there as I talk about it. It's 1 Kings chapter 22. Ahab, the king of Israel, wanted to reclaim the city of Ramoth-Gilead that the Syrians had taken away from him. And so he asked Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, to help him. But being a righteous king, while Ahab was not, Jehoshaphat wanted first to inquire the word of the Lord before giving his agreement. And so Ahab brought in 400 prophets who with one voice proclaimed, "Go up, for the Lord will give it into the hand of the king." Somehow that didn't sit well with Jehoshaphat. And he asked, "Is there not another prophet of the Lord here of whom we may inquire?" Seems that Jehoshaphat knew that those 400 prophets were on Ahab's payroll. And the king of Israel, that is Ahab, said to Jehoshaphat, this is verse 8, "There is a man, yet one man by whom we may inquire of the Lord, Micaiah, the son of Imlah. But I hate him, for he never prophesies good concerning me, but evil." Jehoshaphat told Ahab that he shouldn't talk like that and asked that Micaiah be called in. And as he was being called in, the messenger sent to summon Micaiah told him, "Behold, the words of the prophets with one accord are favorable to the king. Let your words be like the word of them and speak favorably. Be a team player, Micaiah." But Micaiah said, "As the Lord lives, what the Lord says to me, that I will speak." And when he had come to the king said to him, "Micaiah, shall we go to Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall we refrain?" And he, Micaiah, answered him, "Go up and triumph. The Lord will give it into the hand of the king." But the king said to him, "How many times shall I make you swear that you shall not speak, that you shall speak to me nothing but truth in the name of the Lord?" And then Micaiah said, "I saw all Israel scattered on the mountains as sheep having no shepherd. And the Lord said, 'These have no master. Let each return to his home in peace.'" King's going to die. And the king of Israel, Ahab, said to Jehoshaphat, "Did I not tell you that he would not prophesy good concerning me, but evil?" And Micaiah said, "Therefore hear the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, and all the hosts of heaven standing beside him, on his right hand and on his left. And the Lord said, 'Who will entice Ahab, that he may go up and fall at Ramoth Gilead?' One said one thing, and another another. Then a spirit came forward and stood before the Lord, saying, 'I will entice him.' And the Lord said to him, 'By what means?' And he said, 'I will go out and be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets.' And he said, 'You are to entice him, and you shall succeed. Go out and do so.' Now therefore, behold, the Lord has put a lying spirit in the mouth of all these your prophets. The Lord has decreed disaster upon you." You see, Micaiah stood in the council of the Lord, in the court of heaven itself. He heard the words that the Lord had spoken in the courtroom of heaven. And what he declared to Ahab was what he had heard God say. A true prophet hears the very words God has spoken from heaven and makes them known. He neither adds nor subtracts from them. He doesn't speak from his own mind or even from his own heart. What he proclaims is the message that God has spoken. That's the difference between a true prophet of the Lord and a false one. Now, there's an application here for those of us who preach the word and for those who listen to it. Preachers partake in the prophetic office when they preach the word of God. Those who have been entrusted with the ministry of the word in the church don't receive messages from God by being transported up into the heavenly court and listening to what God says in the council of heaven anymore. But they are, nevertheless, to proclaim exactly what God says. And they know this through a careful and diligent study of the Word of God, which they proclaim to the people. And just as these false prophets in Jeremiah's day always prefaced their false prophecies by saying, "This is what the Lord says," so today there are those who quote from their Bible in the pulpit, but the message they bring is not from the Lord. The purest and truest form of preaching is the kind of preaching where the theme of the sermon is the theme from the Scripture. Whenever the theme that's preached is not the same as the theme of the text of Scripture, then something else is being preached. Just because a preacher uses the Bible or quotes from it doesn't mean that the message comes from the Bible. You know, there's a temptation that every man who's a true preacher of the word of the Lord knows and faces whenever he goes into the pulpit. He sees some need in the congregation and he gets an idea that the congregation needs to be addressed on that subject. And he gets an idea of what he wants to say. And then he goes to the Bible to find a text that will allow him to say what he's decided in advance needs to be said. I hope you see what's wrong with this. The theme of his message did not flow from a study of the passage. The passage came to mind afterward as a way to buttress a theme that came to his mind from somewhere else. Now, in the best of cases, the theme may have come from the preacher's understanding of Scripture as a whole. And if the preacher's understanding is biblical, the message will at least be biblical. But even then, the congregation is not really hearing what the text before them really says. What they're hearing is what was in the preacher's mind and how the text confirms it. Congregations who get a steady diet of that kind of preaching that I'm describing never grow in their spiritual lives beyond the preacher's own spiritual growth. The highest and truest form of preaching is expository preaching. And that's where the theme of the sermon is the theme of the text. It's preaching exactly what God has said, understanding the text in its context and applying it to our lives today. Oh, there are so many forms of preaching common today that fall short of being expository messages. They're not messages that declare and apply exactly what God has said. I'm sure you've come across many of them. One kind of sermon is called anecdotal preaching. In anecdotal preaching, it isn't the theme of the text that forms the theme of the sermon. It's stories, often taken from the preacher's life, but they could come from anywhere, all woven together. And the theme comes from these anecdotes or stories. And you know, there are whole congregations and members of individual congregations who love to have it that way. They want to hear entertaining stories. But it isn't the message of the text of the Bible that's being preached, no matter how many Bible verses you sprinkle over such sermons. Another form of preaching that falls short of expository preaching is the springboard sermon. A springboard sermon merely uses the text as a way to get at what the preacher wants to say. Now, what a preacher says may have some relation to the text, but it isn't the main message of the text. An example of this would be a sermon from John chapter 2. That's where we have the story of Jesus turning water to wine at Cana. Some preachers have made sermons from that passage where the theme of the sermon is the lawfulness of Christians to drink alcohol. Now, that's not the theme of that passage about Jesus turning water into wine at Cana. The passage is in our Bibles. It isn't in our Bibles to teach us whether to drink wine or not. It's there to declare the glory of our Messiah. Let me give you another form of sermon that falls short of expository preaching. And it's one that uses the text in an unfounded way. In this kind of preaching, the preacher may say many things that are true, but they just don't come from the passage when understood correctly. Often this kind of sermon comes from a desire to be practical and to apply the sermon to people's lives, which is a good goal. But when we do that, we must make sure that application truly comes from the text. Here's an example. Maybe some of you have heard these kind of sermons somewhere before. Hopefully not in this congregation. Story of David and Goliath. That's the text. And then it concludes by asking these questions. Who is the Goliath in your life? And what are the 5 smooth stones that you need to be prepared to use against him? God didn't put the story of David and Goliath in our Bible to answer those questions. Those questions are practical questions. I can see why people like that kind of preaching. But that passage of Scripture is about something that God did in redemptive history that furthered his plan to bring about the kingdom of God in Christ. Well, there are many ways of preaching that fall short of declaring truly what God has said in a particular passage of Scripture. And a preacher must work hard to know what the text says and what it means and how to apply it truly to the hearts of the people. But congregations have a serious responsibility here as well. Congregations sometimes demand that their preachers give them sermons which entertain. If a sermon's stirring or rivets their attention, many go away pleased. But the question a congregation always needs to ask is, did I hear the word of the Lord? Is what the preacher preached the same as the message of the text? If it is, it's the word of the Lord. And if it's not, well, the message comes from somewhere else. And the elders who rule are charged with the supervision of the preaching of the word. They have the responsibility of guarding the preaching of the word, ensuring that what's preached in a sermon is exactly what the scripture says. If congregations don't take care, they may develop an appetite for preaching which by degrees wanders from the truth of the Bible, declaring less and less of what God says and more of what man says. The danger to us today of succumbing to false preaching is as great as the danger of Judas succumbing to false prophecy in Jeremiah's day. Why is it so important that a messenger of God, whether he be a prophet or a preacher, declare exactly what God has said and not something else that may be on his mind? It's because only the word of the living God can help us. Let the prophet who has a dream tell the dream, but let him who has my word speak my word faithfully. What is straw in common with wheat, declares the Lord? Is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, and my word like a hammer that breaks the rocks in pieces? The words of men are like straw. They don't nourish. Grain does that. And God's word is like fire. It burns up what is unclean and unholy in our lives. Nothing purifies like fire. Before the year 1666, the bubonic plague had ravaged London. People died by the scores. But in 1666, the fire of London broke out, and after that, no one died of the plague. Do you know why? Because the fire went down every rat hole and every sewer and purified the city. God's word is like that. It can purify your life, but it must be preached truly and embraced truly by those who hear. God says his word is like a hammer. It breaks rocks in pieces. Nothing is more necessary than that our stony hearts be broken and laid bare by the word of God. We need to see our sinfulness and misery if ever we are to come to God. We need to be humbled and to see the beauty of the Savior. We need to see what kind of lives God calls those who belong to him to live. And his word shows us that. But we must really hear God speaking when the word is preached. The word of man does us no saving good. Let me ask you this morning, what do you believe is the power of God to salvation? Is it the gospel, the living word of God? Then make sure that you expect the gospel to be preached from your pulpit. Come with the expectation of hearing the word of the Lord. Come prepared for hearing the word of the Lord. Read the text in advance. Don't settle for anything less from a preacher than the living word of God. The word of the Lord is the only thing which can give you real hope and help. Let me ask you another question, if I may. Where does faith come from? Well, the Bible says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If faith is to be created in the hearts of those who hear, then it's the word of God that must be preached. Friends, listen. Learn to be discerning. Simply sprinkling a sermon with scripture verses isn't the same thing as preaching the text of scripture. And just as a true prophet stands in the presence of the counsel of God in heaven and declares what he's heard, true preaching always declares faithfully what God has said in his written word and makes that known to his people. If you truly believe that the Bible is God's word, you will not settle for anything else. We need the hammer that breaks rocks to pieces and the fire that sets hearts ablaze. May God grant that we always have such preaching and that we desire nothing else. Amen. You pray with me. Father in heaven, we thank you that in your great mercy you have given us your word to be a lamp to our feet and light to our path, to be a fire that burns up the dross in our life, to be a hammer that smashes rocks to pieces. Father, we ask that we would always honor your word and that we would always seek to hear it, and that those who proclaim it, Lord, among us in your churches, wherever they are, would proclaim the truth as it is in Jesus, line upon line and precept upon precept. Hear our prayers. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.